Welcome to the Deep Dive, a deeper look at sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church.
Today we're looking at something really fascinating.
We are. Our mission is to dive into two pretty different messages by Pastor Tim Travis and find this incredible common thread that ties them both together.
Right. And on one hand, we have the Christmas story from his sermon Cradle to the Cross, which covers Luke chapter 2, a story we all think we know.
And then on the other hand, we've got a message about great women of the Bible, specifically focusing on Lois and Eunice from 2 Timothy.
So a stable in Bethlehem and a home in, you know, ancient Turkey, they seem worlds apart.
They really do. But that's our whole goal today. We want to show you how Pastor Tim Travis connects them, this idea that God's perfect plan, it just overrides our human expectations.
Mm-hmm. And it uses these, well, these imperfect, sometimes messy situations to get his will done.
It's really a story of disruption leading to destiny.
And just a quick reminder for you, if you want to listen to these full sermons, all of Pastor Tim Travis's messages are out there.
Yep, you can find them on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Just go to the website, faithwayfbc.com, for all the information.
Okay, so let's start with this idea of a divine interruption. Let's go to Christmas.
The scene everyone knows.
Right, the birth of the Savior. It should be this, you know, grand event. But Pastor Tim Travis points out it starts with a logistical nightmare.
It really does. It's not a religious ceremony. It's a political decree.
From Caesar Augustus, of all people.
Exactly. The Roman emperor decides all the world should be taxed. So, you know, pure bureaucracy.
And this decree forces Joseph and Mary, with Mary being, as the scripture says, great with child.
Very pregnant.
Very pregnant. It forces them on this long journey from Nazareth all the way down to Bethlehem.
Just to be counted in a census.
And that difficult, dangerous journey. That's what Pastor Tim Travis calls the divine interruption. It was the disruption needed to get them to the one place on earth they had to be.
To fulfill the prophecy from Micah, it's the first big insight for you that destiny often requires disruption.
It really does. And Pastor Tim Travis makes this point that the will of God is almost always disruptive.
It never really fits into our neat little schedule, does it?
No, it's aimed right at our own selfish, carnal will. We love our comfort.
We love the couch, the lazy boy, as he puts it.
Exactly. And getting us off that couch to do something for God, well, it often takes a shakeup.
It's the only way to get us moving toward that predetermined purpose. And then when they finally arrive, the disruption just gets worse.
Yeah, the details of the birth are, they're pretty shocking when you actually stop and think about them.
Well, let's talk about the swaddling clothes.
I found that part so striking. We have this image of, you know, soft white linen.
Right. But Pastor Tim Travis pointed out that in that context, they were known as death rags.
Death rags. What does that even mean?
I mean, think about it. Old, torn up strips of cloth, the kinds of things you'd use around a stable for, you know, cleaning up messes with the animals.
So the Son of God is wrapped in rags used for cleaning animals.
It's the ultimate paradox, and it's an incredible foreshadowing of the sacrifice he was born to make.
And then on top of that, you have the denial, the famous line.
No room for them in the inn.
They did everything right. They followed the law. They made the journey, and the door is shut in their face. A distinguishing denial.
And that denial is what creates the distinct destination. The stable wasn't plan B.
No.
Pastor Tim Travis is so clear on this. This wasn't some unfortunate accident. That denial was the very mechanism God used to get them exactly where his word said they needed to be.
Which brings us to a bigger point he makes about God's economy, you know, how his power works.
Yeah. And the key thing is, God doesn't need our help. He invites it, but he doesn't need it.
That's a huge point.
Yeah.
Because we sometimes feel like we have to make it all happen for him.
But just look at the examples from scripture he gives.
A talking donkey to get a prophet back on track.
Having a whale swallow another prophet just to get him to Nineveh.
Shutting the mouths of lions for Daniel. Feeding 5,000 people with what? A few fish and some bread?
I mean, every single one of those things completely bypasses logic.
Right.
So if God is willing to use a talking animal to accomplish his will, he certainly doesn't need our perfect timing or our resources.
He just wants our obedience when we're available.
Exactly.
Okay, so if this divine interruption has so much hardship, what about the angel song? You know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men.
Mm-hmm. That's a common point of confusion. Pastor Tim Travis addresses it head on.
Because if you look at the last 2,000 years,
there hasn't been global peace. Constant war, constant suffering.
So what did the angels mean?
He argues that the peace they proclaimed wasn't geopolitical. That kind of global peace. That's for when the Lord returns. for the millennial kingdom.
So the peace for us right now is individual.
It's an internal peace, the reconciliation you get when you accept the Lord. And that makes the whole promise so much more personal for you, the listener. It's about changing your heart, not international policy.
And this is where it gets really interesting. The trial itself, the hardship, it becomes the tool.
Right. Pastor Tim Travis says that denial, being forced into that stable, that became the distinguishing mark for the shepherds.
It's so counterintuitive. We think the trial is the obstacle before God's work is seen.
But he's saying the trial is the place where people look and say, wait a second.
That should have broken them, but look at them. That has to be God.
The hardship actually validates the work, which leads to this whole idea of God's protection.
Yeah, because we expect protection to look like, you know, safety, comfort.
A bubble.
A bubble, exactly.
Okay.
But Pastor Tim Travis says God's methods are often foreign to us and to the world.
We want a bodyguard, but God sends us into the desert to protect us from Jezebel.
Give us another example. How does this foreign protection work?
Okay, look at Joseph. Sold into slavery by his brothers, thrown into prison for years on a false charge.
To the outside world, that's failure, abandonment.
Utter abandonment. But Pastor Tim Travis points out that prison was the only place Joseph could learn the skills he needed. Administration, interpreting dreams.
The skills to become second in command of Egypt.
And to save the very people who betrayed him, the prison wasn't a punishment, it was a training ground.
It redefines difficulty as preparation, not penalty.
Exactly. Or David, on the run from Saul for years, hiding in caves.
That sounds awful.
It was. But God was using that time to strip away the pride and prepare a shepherd boy's heart to be king. He was being protected from the spiritual dangers of power through physical difficulty.
And that connects right into the idea of Christian hope.
Right. Pastor Tim Travis explains that in the original languages, hope means an expectation.
Not just wishing.
No, the world's hope is shallow, a better job, more stuff. It's based on circumstances.
But Christian hope is what?
An absolute expectation of glory. And that expectation is what drives you to serve Christ every day. It's active waiting.
Which is why we're told in 1 Peter to be ready to give a reason for the hope that's in you.
If you can't explain why you have peace in the chaos, then your hope maybe hasn't distinguished itself from the world's wishes.
And to close out this part of the deep dive, who got this message first?
Not the powerful, not the theologian.
It was blue-collar shepherds.
Men of low estate, working the graveyard shift. God consistently chooses the humble, the lowly vessels.
Which is the perfect transition to Lois and Eunice.
The key connection. Whether it's a stable or a broken home, God uses the vessel that seems imperfect to the world.
So now we're in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and the focus is on Timothy's unfeigned faith.
And Pastor Tim Travis spends time defining that word, unfeigned. It means authentic, sincere, no pretense.
The real deal.
The real deal. And you have to understand the home he came from.
We know from Acts that his father was a Greek.
And the implication Pastor Tim Travis draws is that he likely abandoned the Jewish family early on.
So Timothy grew up in a broken home.
Which created an enormous burden on his mother and grandmother. Pastor Tim Travis lays out the man's ordained role. Head of the home provider.
He even quotes 1 Timothy 5.8 that a man who fails to provide for his own is worse than an infidel.
It's a heavy scripture. The man is meant to be the protector, the spiritual guide.
And if he neglects that role,
the woman must bear the weight.
And that's exactly what happened. Lois and Eunice had to step up.
They had to. They refused to let the failure of the man lead to the failure of the child. It shows that man and woman are designed to complement, not compete.
And when competition happens, you get trouble. You see it all over the Old Testament, Rachel and Leah, Hannah and Peninnah.
So in this situation, the woman has to use the power God has given her, which is the tremendous power of influence.
Her ordained position is the keeper of the home.
Right. Maintaining order, creating a godly atmosphere. And Pastor Tim Travis uses this brilliant analogy.
I love this part.
He says, Dad legislates, he sets the command, but Mom executes the law.
She's the light, as Proverbs says. The daily, consistent application of that rule.
So, so powerful. The authority comes from the father, but the daily influence that shapes a child comes through the mother.
So how did they do it? When the father's authority was missing, how did they execute a law that wasn't being fully legislated in the home?
Through constant, daily, unwavering instruction. They refused to give Timothy over to the world. They didn't just teach him scripture. They lived it in front of him.
They modeled that unfeigned faith.
Every single day. So he saw real faith, honest faith in spite of their hard circumstances.
That's not just raising a good kid, that's leadership development.
It is. Their success was training Timothy to be a leader of men.
And you see the pattern, don't you? Lois trained Eunice.
And Eunice trained Timothy. It is the core duty, as he says, of godly women to be trainers of men and women.
Yeah, and the result, it's just monumental. The Apostle Paul takes notice of this young man's incredible faith.
A faith built into him by these two women.
And that godly character is what got him invited on Paul's journey. He became a pillar of the early church.
He received two books of the Bible written just to him, and ultimately he was martyred for that faith.
All because of the quiet, powerful influence of two women in a broken home.
It's just an incredible demonstration that true power comes from God, not from our circumstances.
It ties it all together so perfectly. Whether you're a shepherd in a field or a single mother, your ability to be used by God is the same.
Because true equality is only found in Jesus Christ. As Romans says, God has no respect of persons. Your value is equal.
So what we've seen is God uses the disruption, the hardship, and the unlikely people.
Shepherds, the women.
To accomplish his perfect plan. And our trials could become that distinguishing mark that points others to him.
Which brings us to the final challenging thought from Pastor Tim Travis. It's a question for you to really think about.
It's a tough one.
It is. He asks you to look at the unfeigned faith that Lois and Eunice had, and then ask yourself this.
If you were put on trial today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?
Are you really using the hope and the influence God has given you, in your family, at your job, wherever you are, to glorify him?
A powerful question to take with you this week. Thank you so much for joining this deep dive into the messages of Pastor Tim Travis.
We encourage you to meditate this week on the birth of our Savior. Mm. Think not just about the joy it brings, but about the disruptive, messy, beautiful path he took to bring that joy into a very dark world.
Until next time.